Well, as you know, we've been going through this series called Hashtag Struggles and looking at different things as it relates to media and social media, technology, and so on. I'm sure most of you saw or heard about the State of the Union speech, probably some parts of it. You probably heard of the decision on the impeachment vote. And if you watched the news, if you watched Facebook, if you're on social media, you probably heard both sides share their opinions about these things, right? And probably criticisms from both sides of the political spectrum. And no matter which, you know, side you fall on, you probably heard comments, criticisms, bashing online or on news media. You heard lots of truths. You heard lots of quotes, misquotes, gossip. And really, I saw even some outright anger on both sides. Maybe you were a part of that. Oh, maybe you were part of that online, or maybe you're talking with friends or family members, or just some even people you don't know online, right? Interesting, I was reading, I'm reading a book, and there was one man, his name's Tim, true story, he shared this. He says, "I don't know why I let it get to me, but I do. I just can't stand to see immoral behavior accepted like it's no big deal. And so I find myself always leaving snarky comments and critical observations about all kinds of social, political, spiritual issues, everything from gun control to abortion to the latest celebrity news. And since I don't have to sign my name, only my username, I kind of feel this freedom to be harsh and judgmental and outright mean sometimes. I don't think God approves of some of the comments I've made on various sites and blog posts, but for some reason, I just keep posting them." You know, I think maybe some of us can relate to Tim. It seems with social media, many times we feel like we can say whatever we want, whenever we want, without really feeling any need for a filter or responsibility. It seems like anybody can spout off critical or even hurtful comments. And chances are we probably joined in that critical party. I'm not talking about the Republicans or Democrats, but that critical party where we just, you know, kind of get into that sometimes, whether it's online or even among people you work with or your family. See, just because you can say something doesn't necessarily mean you should say something, right? Although sharing our opinion can sometimes be helpful, sometimes maybe it isn't always as helpful as we think it is. And the truth is, probably as most of us know, much of what we see online is either full of criticism or sometimes full of gossip or even mistruths. The truth is, the reality is that we struggle, I think, I do, and so I think probably many of you do, we struggle with gossip. We struggle with criticism in many different ways. Pastor Rick Warren, he said this about gossip. He says, "When we are talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the problem nor part of the solution, we are probably gossiping." You ever thought about that? If you're talking with someone or being the one talked to who's not a part of the problem or a part of the solution, chances are it may be gossip. This morning we want to look at Scripture. We want to look at some wisdom Scripture as well as some of Jesus' teaching and Paul's about this whole realm of gossip and criticism. So look with me if you haven't already. Turn to Proverbs. If you want to flip back and forth, you can, but if you want to stick in Proverbs and look at the ones in Proverbs, that'd be great. Proverbs 6, verse 16, and then verse 19 we'll look at here just to start, kind of get an overview of maybe God's perspective on some of this. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and then 19 says this: "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him." Verse 19, "One of them, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers." We see here that the Lord hates certain things. And one of them is this idea of really what we call criticism or gossip. We've seen a couple of things here in the past couple of weeks that we struggle with social media, with technology, and I think this is certainly one of them. And he says here that the Lord hates a false witness, somebody who purposely tells lies, and one who stirs up conflict. It's interesting, you've probably heard these statistics maybe, but do you know that one half of the young people who are surveyed say that they have been bullied at some time online? One half. I don't know, does that mean the other half's doing it? I think it's probably a combination, right? Probably all of us have had somebody say something hurtful about us, or we've read something hurtful about us, whether on social media or behind our back. Someone maybe shared something you asked them not to, or maybe they texted something about you. And when you receive, when you hear that, it kind of hurts, doesn't it? If we're honest, we've probably done that same thing at some time, some point or another. And God says he doesn't like this kind of behavior. In fact, he says he hates this kind of behavior. And yet it's become really pretty acceptable part of our culture, wouldn't you say? Matter of fact, there's movies about it, not actually promoting it, but actually showing some of the harms. Movies, popular movies like Mean Girls, maybe you heard that one, or Cyberbully. And there's other things, of course. And this is not something new, obviously. We're going to see in Proverbs. This is something that's been going on forever, right? But we see, kind of even in the church realm, we kind of, sometimes some churches, or there's kind of this stereotype, if you ever watch movies, of the church gossip, right? The church gossiper, and usually, unfortunately, they kind of target women, but you know, the woman who, you know, they're in church, and she's got all the news, and she's sharing it with everybody to make sure everybody knows what to pray for, right? So the question is, why do we participate? And I want you to personalize this. Don't think about, you know, the person sitting next to you or the person that you're friends with online or whoever. But let's try to personalize it, okay? Why do I participate in gossip or criticism? What draws us to that? What reward is there in gossiping or criticizing? There is some reward we feel within ourselves, or we wouldn't do it, right? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. Maybe one of the rewards we feel like, well, I'm in the know. I know something that you don't. And I want you to know that I know something that you don't. I'll let you in on it. Or maybe we do it because we feel superior to others. We feel, you know what? I've got some power over this person. Or it makes us feel better about our own lives when we can talk down about somebody else, right? If I can show the weakness of this person, that'll kind of make me look a little bit better. Unfortunately, when we do this, we're allowing our sinful nature to gain victory in our lives, aren't we? We're doing what God hates as we bear false witness, we pour out lies, or as we stir up conflict. We're going to look at that in more detail in a minute. The Tonight Show hosts Jimmy Fallon. I actually enjoy watching that show once in a while. I'm not usually up that late, but our kids, when they're over, we stay up late sometimes and watch that. He recently, in the last year or two, a couple of years ago, produced a revealing video about Major League Baseball player Robinson Cano. Maybe you've heard of him. Cano played for the New York Yankees for a number of years, a great player, an all-star. But then he signed with the Seattle Mariners, and he left New York. And the fans, of course, were upset. I mean, he's going, you know, leaving their team and going somewhere else. And since all these New Yorkers were mad, Jimmy Fallon kind of gave him a chance to let out their feelings. And so he had this big picture of Robinson Cano. It was about the size maybe of our banner, a little bit wider than that. And it was a picture of him. And he invited anybody that wanted to come and to kind of shout at the picture of this ball player. And he captured it on video. And so several people come up and they passionately just like, boo, you know. And then they would start to say, you know, rude comments. Then they'd start saying some really rude things to this picture of Robinson Cano. What these critical fans didn't realize is that Cano was behind that picture. And as they began to do some of that, he would all of a sudden come outside of it and stand there. And they would be shocked. And all of a sudden, they was, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't really mean what I was saying. It was just a joke. Oh, I'm so honored to meet you. Can I get your autograph, you know? Really? It shows how easy it is for us to criticize, to talk bad about somebody, especially when they're not there, right? Especially when they're not around. And it's even easier to do in the context of so much of our social media, right? Whether it be on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, you know, texting, sharing of our blogs, whatever. The challenge that God has for us this morning, I want you to think about, is to think about what you're doing. To think before you blog, before you comment, before you post, before you text, before you talk about someone. And so we want to look at some questions. You know, one person said this, the things that go in one ear and out the other, you ever heard that? My dad used to tell me that all the time. It's going in one ear and out the other. But things that go in one ear and out the other don't hurt as much as when they go in one ear, get all mixed up, and then slip out the mouth or through our fingertips as we type or text or tweet or share about someone. So here are three questions. We're going to look at Scripture. I think they can give us some good principles, some guidelines as we think about this whole area. First one's actually in the New Testament. It's in Ephesians. If you want, if you know where it's at, you can turn there or just listen, or it might be on the screen, I think. But chapter 4, verse 29. Paul writes this: "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So the first question maybe you should ask yourself or think is, will what I am about to share, will it benefit somebody, or is it really ultimately tearing them down? Is this going to help somebody, or is it going to be hurtful? Some people think it's okay to share something as long as it's true. Well, it's true. Certainly I can share it, right? Not necessarily. We don't always have to share everything that's true, right? As followers of Jesus, we need to be careful what we share. You see, you don't just represent yourself, and that should be enough, but you represent Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are representing Jesus. Not only that, but even more practical is, you represent our church. If this is your church, you represent North Main Fellowship. Now, can you disagree with people, right? Can you have differing points of people from other people? Absolutely. Can you share those? Yes, but here's the question. Is your goal to tear them down? Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths or through your fingers as we type out messages on our phone, on our tablet, on our computers. If you haven't left there, you can look at, again, in Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verses 27-28 says this: "A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends." We all hate it when somebody talks behind our back or talks behind the back of someone that we love, right? We've all had that happen, I'm sure. But what about our own lives? How quickly do we fall into that trap ourselves? We often share things about others that probably don't need to be shared, right? So here's another great question to think about as you post, as you tweet, as you comment, as you talk to someone. What's my intention in sharing this? Yeah, it's, and a lot of it's in here, right? What's my intention? Why am I sharing this, what I'm about to share? We see from Proverbs 16 the devastating effects of our words, right? Our words can start a fire. We've seen, you know, I'm sure if you watch the news, you've seen the fires in Australia, right? And those are devastating. And yet, the Bible talks about our tongues can, just from a spark, can have a great fire that it starts, right? We see that too often. But not only that, sometimes our words can separate friendships, can divide people rather than bring together. And sometimes we do it intentionally. Sometimes, quite honestly, we do it unintentionally, and yet we don't stop and think about the ramifications of what we're doing. And so it's good to check our intentions before we share something online, before we share something in person. One pastor shared his experience. He said, "Perhaps you're like me, and you receive a phone call from someone. He says, 'I want to tell you about so-and-so.' And I'll say, 'Wait a minute, may I quote you?' And there's usually a long pause on the other end. And they say, 'Well, I'm not sure about that. That might not be a good idea.' And invariably, my answer would be that I'm not really interested in hearing what you have to say. If you're not interested in putting your name on it, in being there to help this person, or to be there when we confront this individual, I'm not really interested in listening to what you have to say." How many of us would do that? It's probably a good rule, a good thought. We need to take a look at our heart and our intentions as we share about other people. You know, some Christians, some of us, can disguise gossip as we talked about a moment ago, a prayer request. right? And we need to be careful with that. One of my rules that I always have, and at least I try to have, especially as a pastor, if somebody shares something with me, I ask them, do you want me to share this with anybody? Can I share this? Usually it's with, can I share this with our leadership? Or do you want us to pray for that as a church, like this morning with Caleb and Kayla, their little boy, who they had to take to the hospital, just got a fever. Some people would say, yeah, that's great, and say, no, would you just pray for it? Okay? There's no need to stir up dissension or hurt a friendship. What is my intention? Is it, I know this and you don't? While it's good to pray, not all prayer requests need to be shared among everybody. They don't need to be shared online. Turn back to Proverbs 11. Take a moment, turn back a couple chapters. Proverbs 11, verses 12 and 13. It says this, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. So a third question we might ask is, am I making private things public? Am I taking something that was said in confidence or in private and making it public? If you always feel the need that you have to share what you know, you might have an issue with gossip. Okay? There's a time where we need to stop talking, stop texting, stop posting. If you can't control yourself, God's word says that you lack judgment. And too many people, even Christians, many Christians sometimes, lack this judgment. Not too long ago, true story, there was a couple at a church who had gone through some difficult marriage issues. The husband had an affair, and they were close to divorce, but the wife was willing to go to counseling, and the husband was willing to go to counseling, and God was doing a work of forgiveness in their lives, and they were working through this, and with the help of their pastor, with the help of their counselor, one of the things that they asked, they decided that it would be healthy and healing to share with their small group. They were a part of a small group, and they wanted to pray, ask them to pray and to support them through this. And so they came and they shared their heart of what had happened and the process of healing that was going on, and it was great. Others came together and they shared some of their struggles, and they prayed together and they hugged. And of course, they had asked if they would please keep this confidential just within the group. Don't tell anybody else. And everyone agreed to that. But unfortunately, one woman, only one, decided to tell just one other person. And unfortunately, that one friend decided to post information on Facebook saying, please pray for so-and-so, using their names. And she went on to explain how the husband had an affair with his assistant, and she wanted everybody, please pray for this family. And I don't know, maybe it was out of sincerity, but it was certainly not the right thing to do. The couple that was trying to heal was devastated. The wife couldn't go to church or to school with their kids or to her son's soccer game without people mentioning this post or just kind of looking at her with pity. And then her two children heard it from their friends. And the wife became so depressed and despondent that she refused to even go out in public. And a week later, she publicly, feeling publicly shamed and humiliated, she filed for divorce. From that pastor's perspective, he says, adultery didn't kill that marriage. Ultimately, gossip did. It's a fire. It can destroy people, right? And we need to be careful. We need to be careful. If you're in doubt about sharing something, you need to make sure it's okay with that person, or take the obviously easier, harder thing to do, which is just to keep it to yourself. What is your intention? Listen to some more advice, Proverbs. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, 9 and 10 says this. If you argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence, or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation. It's best to keep personal issues private, right? To avoid public shame. Don't involve others when it's a private matter, when it's something that is done in confidence, or it may damage your relationship, even with the one that you're sharing with, right? And it will certainly ruined your reputation. You know, I see this too much, quite honestly, on Facebook sometimes. I'm not on Facebook a lot, but I go on there, you know, a couple times a week, and I'm always amazed at some of the things that are on there. And I see it even in our community. It's in any community, but especially I see it with schools, parents and teachers or administrators. And they go to the teacher, they go to the administrator, and they have this conversation, which is a good thing to do. But then what do? They go and they put it on Facebook and say, I had this conversation with this teacher, and here's what they said. And I don't think it's very good, and you should have heard what I said to them. I gave it to them. And some people jump on the bandwagon, oh, yeah, yeah. Others will say, well, I don't know. I have that teacher. I think she's pretty good. He's pretty good. As we do that, that's either going to come back to bite you, or certainly you're going to lose respect from many people, especially, obviously, from that teacher, the administrator. But it's not just in the area of school, right? What about your job? Sometimes your job, you know, there's lots of opportunity there to talk bad about your boss or about a coworker. And it's pretty easy to do, but we need to be careful about that. What about with your family? Not just your immediate family, your extended family. What about those of us in church? I mean, we're around each other a lot. We do things that kind of bug each other once in a while, right? There's things that Pastor Jim does that you know, I annoy you, and, you know, he needs to change that, but I'm not going to talk to him, but let me talk to, you know, somebody else about it. Wherever it is, we need to be careful. If you have an issue with someone, if you have a criticism, again, a disagreement, that's not a bad thing. You can't agree with everybody, but what should you do? Let's take some of Jesus' advice in Matthew 18, 15, and 16. And this is talking specifically about Christian to Christian, but I think it applies to outside the church, but certainly within the church. And he says this, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. And if he listens to you, you've won your brother over. If he will not listen, then take one or maybe two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Go to that person. And sometimes it's appropriate, maybe through email or maybe through texting, depending on if it's not a major thing. But, you know, the best thing certainly is to talk to that person face-to-face or over the phone. It enables you to respect and honor them rather than for them to feel attacked or even embarrassed by your accusations. And it goes to show that you have more concern for that friendship, for that relationship, than you necessarily have to be right. Okay? As you go, though, here's the key. You need to go in humility. You need to go with a forgiving spirit, willing to forgive them. And obviously with a loving spirit. It may not always be resolved, but it certainly will help you from allowing that to be a fire, right, that continues on, as well as ruining your reputation. Sometimes you may feel like you're in the right, but the way you go about it can actually ruin your reputation. So these are struggles. These are true struggles that we face, especially in our culture. Gossip's always been an issue. Criticism's always been an issue, but I think it's even more so because we can pretty much do it, you know, in so many different ways. So it's easy to participate in that, but let's choose to live by God's wisdom. We see here, and if you want to, the Proverbs, as you can see, there's just a few of them, talks a lot about what we talk about and how we treat people. But what about, let's flip it over a little bit. Let's be on the other side. What about when people disagree or say bad things about you? Okay? We are talking about how we treat others. What about when people, you're on the other side? What about where people disagree or say bad things about you? There'll be times where people will say critical things about you or even maybe gossip of something that you're going through or maybe you've done. How should we respond? Let's just briefly look at, again, three ways of how we can, we may disagree with people, but how we can be receptive to that as well. Many times people will share something maybe on Facebook or a response to something you share or an article that you post, right? As we know in our nation, we're pretty divided. And we can even be divided here even in a church. We can have different opinions on political things, on social things, how to raise your kids, sports, you know, all those things. And we have these different opinions. If you follow Jesus, chances are you may have some disagreements with other people, All right? You might have some kind of online or face-to-face disagreeing with different opinions or beliefs. Matter of fact, Jesus talks about that a little bit, not so much the social media part that he had back then, but he did talk about this idea of maybe people not agreeing with you or saying things against you. In Matthew 5, 10 through 12, he kind of talks about this idea of persecution. This is a big area, okay? And so I'm not comparing this to certainly Christians who are being beaten or even killed for their faith, but I think it applies somewhat to our situation. He says in verse 10 through 12, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you or persecute you or falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." There will be times, possibly in your life, where you may feel persecuted, or people may say bad things about you because of your beliefs, because of your faith, because of who you are as a Christian. And Jesus says that may happen, okay? That may very well happen. Matter of fact, it probably will. We're going to get to that in a minute, but before we do, I need to go a little bit of a sidetrack here. Before we get to that, we also need to look at our own lives, okay? We need to think about our own lives. Many times, some of these things happen to us, maybe not because we're Christians, but rather because of how we are acting, right? Sometimes we are rejected. Sometimes we're criticized because of maybe some personality problems that we may need to work on. Maybe because some of us are rude. Maybe because sometimes we're insensitive or thoughtless or obnoxious because of our beliefs or opinions. Maybe we're even on the, quote, the right side of things, but how we portray them elicits that kind of feedback that we maybe don't like. So I want you to think about, some may reject you because you're seen as proud or judgmental. One person shared this: "Incompetence mixed with piety, or maybe a holier-than-thou attitude, is sure to bring rejection." Notice Jesus said here that we will be insulted, we'll have false things said against us because of our righteousness, because of righteousness in him. Not because we say something stupid or because we're rude. That's not persecution, okay? That's just getting probably back what you deserve in a sense. Some people, even friends and family members, may not like what you say on Facebook or social media or to them, right? And there'll be pushback at times for legitimate things that you believe. It might be verbal harassment, whether online, or maybe it's whispered behind your back, or maybe even said directly to you. It may be that you're not invited to that neighborhood party all of a sudden, or that you don't get that promotion at your work because of your faith, because of standing up for what is right. But here's the challenge: don't let rudeness, don't let a superior opinion be the reason that they persecute you, in a sense. May what we say and write and post always be done in a spirit of grace and of love. So how should we respond to the bad things that are said or written about us? 1 Corinthians 4, this is a great passage. Paul's talking about this. 1 Corinthians 4, 12 and 13, Paul actually, and some of this is quoting Jesus in Luke, but let me share 1 Corinthians 4, 12 and 13. Paul's talking about this, he's feeling like people are against him because of who he is and what he believes and what he's saying. But he says this, 1 Corinthians 4, 12 and 13. "We work hard with our own hands. So when we are cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. When we're slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we've even become like the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world." Paul's saying to the church, he's saying, you know what, when we're persecuted, you know what we need to do? We need to endure it, and we need to bless back. Paul's basically quoting Jesus from Luke chapter 6, 27, 28. Living for Jesus in this world, it means that we're living according to different standards, right? Different principles, different values than much of the world. They're very different from what much of the world holds as important or valuable. Matter of fact, one of the things I hear often from people, and even sometimes from Christians, is kind of the, "I don't get mad, I get..." Amen. You guys, You guys know it. I don't know if you've said it, but you know it. Right? That's kind of a popular thing. And yet, Paul says when he is slandered, he chooses to answer back, what? Kindly, right? That's his to bless somebody. That's certainly not seen as manly in our culture. Certainly not seen as standing up for yourself. But Jesus didn't fight back with insults or when he was insulted. Now, this is not easy, okay? What I'm saying is not easy. But we are to entrust ourselves and our families to God. We should not react with defensiveness, which is hard, or with hateful rebuttal. Unfortunately, we get caught up in ourselves, in defending ourselves, defending what we believe, taking that hurt that somebody gave to us, and you know what? Giving it back to them. They said hurtful words to me, then I have every right to say it back to them. Not according to Jesus, not according to Paul. He says it's not about us getting it right or being on the winning side. He says we are to bless when cursed, endure when persecuted, answer kindly even when slandered. Not easy. But if we are asking and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, then we will more and more allow the fruit of the Spirit, right? We'll allow kindness and gentleness and self-control, all surrounded by love, to be more and more our reaction to others. One other thing that we should do when others are critical of us or our opinions, right, is that we should seek humility and listen to constructive criticism. This is hard. I've had to do this quite a few times, you know, to listen to constructive criticism. Listen to one last proverb, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, 31 to 33. Says this, 31. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home with the wise. He who ignores discipline despises himself, and whoever heeds correction gains understanding. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. That's a powerful proverb. It's a powerful truth, isn't it? Seek humility. Be open to listening to others' opinions. Are you a teachable person? Or do you know it all? You got all the answers. Listening to others' point of view allows you to grow, whether it's in the area of politics or religion, family issues, moral issues. It's important to listen. Now, is it going to change your view on everything? Absolutely not. But let me ask you a question, or maybe a statement. If you think that you are 100% right all the time, you might have an issue with humility, needing a little bit more, right? If you're always right on everything, either you're God or you might have an issue with pride. Accepting correction is important to personal development, to personal maturity, being willing to listen to others. Doesn't mean that you accept what everybody says, because maybe many times they're wrong. But are you willing to listen to their point of view? Because people, you know, a lot of times all we do when we talk with each other, especially on this online and Facebook, all we do is like, I got my thing and you got your thing. Me, you. You know, there's none of this. Let's listen to each other. I think there's benefit. There's been some good conversations that come out of some of those things, and certainly one-on-one's even better. So if you want to mature, be willing to listen to other people without always having to be defensive, without always having to be on the attack. Share what you believe, certainly, but do it with respect, do it with gentleness, with kindness, with self-control. Which brings me to the last thing to do if someone disagrees with you or says something bad about you. In all your interaction and reaction on social media, here's the key. Ask God how and if you should respond. Ask God how. We've already kind of looked at the hows, right? We've looked at some different things that we should be doing. See, I believe we always need to include God in all of our interactions. I hope that you do. It's not just, well, you know, God's not really involved in my politics, or he's not really involved in how I deal with the school or at my work. No, he's involved in every aspect, hopefully. And if someone is legitimately having a conversation or a debate with you, then listen, right? Respond, as we just talked about. But if someone begins to take cheap shots at you, personal attacks, it's probably time to stop, right? It's probably time to stop. And be careful not to react with anger, okay, or harsh or hurtful or hateful words. Don't let bitterness seep into your heart, right? Don't let bitterness seep into your heart toward that person, toward those people. As Jesus says, pray for your enemies. If you see that person as an enemy, they may kind of be an enemy. Pray for them. Bless back those who curse. And here's the thing is you don't always have to respond back. You don't have to have the last word, right? That's hard. You don't always have to have the last word. As one wise person said this, it's better to keep silent and let everybody think you're a fool than what? To open your mouth and to prove them right. Nice little proverb there. I don't know where it came from. That's a pretty good one. We all struggle. I struggle with gossip, with criticism. And many times I don't mean to gossip, but sometimes I say things that I shouldn't. Let us not be those who stir up conflict, but rather, as we said, let's build others up, right? Let's not tear down. Let's look for our intentions. Stop and consider my intentions. Why am I sharing this? Why am I posting this? Why am I talking about this? And make sure that we're not hurting someone else. And may we bless those who hurt us. And that can look a lot of different ways, right? What does that blessing mean? Well, there's a lot of different ways that can go. But you search your heart. What does that mean to bless? May we bless those who hurt us, and with the Holy Spirit's help, rise above gossip, rise above criticism, and rather allow the fruit of the Spirit, right? Patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, love. May those ultimately guide our hearts and our thoughts, and most importantly, certainly, our words that we say and that we post. Amen? Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for so many wise words that you've given to us. And I pray that you would speak to each one of us. And you know, if there's an area here that we struggle with, help us to know what you want, how you want us to change, and to be the kind of people that you want us to be, that people would see Jesus in us. And if we do hurt somebody, if we say something, give us the humility to ask for forgiveness. And if we're on the other side of that, may we have the humility and grace to forgive. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for this struggle. It shows us a little bit of who we are, but more importantly, it shows us who you want us to be. So lead us and guide us in Christ's name. Amen.